Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brandt, we are delighted to have you here on this Friday, December 20th, 2013. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a busy pre-holiday weekend. We're live here at 12:04 to 1 each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We are streaming the show, so you can listen to the program with our stream or podcast anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our media partners, and we thank them, TucsonCitizen.com, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, and blogforarizona.com. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Alietta Grijalva is with us, and she is the president of the governing board of the Tucson Unified School District, Southern Arizona's largest school district. Joining me to question Ms. Grijalva, Mari Herrera, staff writer of the Tucson Weekly, and Mark Evans, editor of Inside Tucson Business. If you have a question or a comment for Ms. Grijalva, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We invite you also to be a friend of the program and go to our Facebook page where we have now more than 3,000 friends of the program, and we're very, very excited about that. Ms. Grijalva, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Talk a little bit about what you see as we start the new year as the number one issue, the number one challenge facing TUSD and the board.
We're, you know, we have a new superintendent, Dr. Sanchez, who's been on board about 4 months. We're going through an efficiency audit, curriculum audit, and really getting ready January and February to lay out our five-year strategic plan. So I think that all of those factors are really going to build into, you know, what we'd like the district to look like, having focus groups and forums to find out, you know, what people want and in TUSD and what they're looking for in an educational system. I know as a mom of three, you know, it's important for us to really ask families, what are you looking for and how can we serve you? So we also need to fold in the Unitary Status Plan into that. And we have quite a few things going on at one time, but I feel confident that the administration and the board are going to work together to lay out a cohesive plan for the community and have plenty of opportunity for input.
Adelita, how is the financial picture look going into 2014?
You know, it's difficult to judge at this point because we're in the middle of really this whole media campaign, ask me about TUSD, ask me why I choose TUSD. And so that's really an unknown for us. We've never really attempted to do something at that kind of scale. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that affects the number of students that leave TUSD or come to TUSD. For the last, for my tenure, we've lost approximately anywhere between 1,000 to 2,000 students per year. So it'll be interesting to see how that has an impact.
All right, here's Mari Herreras from the Tucson Weekly.
You're viewed as a member of the board, a three board majority that's been for the civil rights process, the desegregation process. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the new superintendent Sanchez has taken the district perhaps a meander that hasn't always necessarily agreed with the unitary status plan that was agreed to. And I wondered how you feel about that, if you think that that's not true, or if you feel like you guys are doing exactly what you need to be doing.
You know, I just had a meeting about an hour and a half ago with the special master, and in talking with the superintendent, he has a perspective that we've never really had in the district of being part of a school district that came out from under an order. So he's looking at the unitary status plan and working with our legal and with really a whole new fresh perspective that we haven't had. And so, you know, when he looked at the plan, he had some concerns, talked to legal, has made some changes with legal. And really, I think the goal is to try to build the unitary status plan into the strategic plan. Unfortunately, when you look at a district that is now majority-minority, a lot of what it looks like to have an integrated campus actually ends up hurting some of our minority students. And so I think that's the lens that he's looking at it through. I mean, I put my son in the lottery process to get into Davis. Many of the admissions policies that we're passing right now are going to make it incredibly difficult for him to get in. And other parents like me are really concerned about that. And so I think you have to factor all of those things in. And it's not that the district doesn't want to cooperate and work with the Unitary Status Plan, but I think that Dr. Sanchez coming in wasn't really a part of some of those compromises. And so he's asking some questions.
Here's Mark Evans, Inside Tucson Business.
Related to what the answer you just gave, wouldn't it be cheaper, faster, easier to just kind of knuckle under to the special master and rather than resist them and constantly go to court, which builds up their fees? We recently had a request for, I think, $2 million in fees from the plaintiffs in the desegregation case. Since your plan was rejected by the appeals court and it's come back, why not just let the court do what it wants to do, which is tell you what it thinks you're supposed to be doing rather than have your own opinions?
Well, the thing is we have to keep in mind that this is impacting students every day. And so I think that's our job, to be advocates for the students that want to come to our district. And so when we're put in a position, like with the UHS admissions, that, the district spent 5 months working on a plan, and now the judges said, no, we would like you to go with this other option, but we don't really have a way to measure. We don't really know what that's going to look like. I mean, there are a lot of questions. And so the district wanted an opportunity to be able to explain, this is why we decided to go with this option. We're still moving forward with the plan that the judge has indicated we need to. I mean, we are under a federal court order, so we will do that. But we're working as cooperatively as we can in light of the fact that this is something that we have to do. I mean, we have to move forward with this court order, and we just are trying to make it work.
And this might be probably too late to ask this question, and maybe it's already been asked and answered, but I was just curious why the district didn't appeal the Ninth Circuit ruling back in 2011.
In regards
to when the rejection of the Unitary Status Plan that Judge Bury had accepted, it was appealed by the plaintiffs to the Ninth Circuit, and the Ninth Circuit sent it back. And you instead of being out from under the desegregation order, you're back underneath
under
it.
Right. It was a decision at the time that, you know, we just needed to move forward. And how can we work as best we can to create an educational system that's going to work for our kids? We didn't appeal it at the time. There were, you know, legal opinions as to why we were going to likely be unsuccessful in that. And, you know, I mean, with reading the order, it was fairly clear that there were a lot of areas that the district needed to work on. And we've made a lot of progress. And even in my recent meeting with the special master, he indicated that we have moved on a lot of areas fairly quickly. So we are making progress. There are going to be these bumps in the road, and the plan is going to need to be modified, and the district needs to be aware of that, and so does the courts and the plaintiffs. I mean, this was supposed to be a living document in that there is some flexibility supposed to be built into the plan. We get closer and closer to, you know, deadlines, it gets a little less flexible.
Any idea when you think you might have a plan that the judge will accept and you'll be?
Well, I mean, we do have a plan now.
It's putting it in action now as part of that. That needs to go on for about 4 years, right?
Correct. It's now a little less than 4 years, but we do we have to be able to make modifications. And if we're going to the plaintiffs and they have an opposition, or the special master has an opposition, I mean, we really don't have a lot of other recourse in the way the system is set up now.
That flexibility that you're talking about, though, I mean, I think of the document of being that kind of thing where Sanchez, the rest of the board could really come in with vision and think of those things. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's the case, then why not think about more Spanish immersion programs other than Davis being the only mm-hmm. one? That's part of the dual language. It's in the thing. Instead of us fighting over how we're putting down our race and ethnicity and thinking of numbers, why not start to think about that kind of big vision thing mm-hmm. of people want dual language. They want those programs,
right?
And not even ELL learner households,
right?
You know, want that.
No, and I don't disagree. One of the initial plans was to create another Spanish immersion program on the east side of town in the hopes that would draw students into those campuses. it's not it is part of the 5-year strategic plan on like what are the schools that are oversubscribed and what are people looking for. We have tried to expand dual language into the school my daughter is attending right now, McCorkle. The thing is you know, you have a program that is nearly 40 years old with Davis, and it's very difficult to replicate a program like that. And so when parents look to that kind of environment to say, okay, this is what I want you to have, and all of those pieces aren't necessarily there right away, you know, we just need to work on better implementing and really looking at the programs that are oversubscribed and how can we duplicate those.
Adelita Grijalva is with us. She's president of the TUSD Governing Board. Mark Evans is here and Mari Herreras. And we will be back on the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview. Coming up on 12:16, we ask now that you give your attention to the sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, and we ask that you give them their support, because they support and keep this program on the air. We'll be right back.
When you give to United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona, you create opportunities for positive change in the lives of more than 100,000 children, families, and seniors in our community. So be a part of the change. Visit UnitedWayTucson.org.
Have you had a chance to visit Biosphere 2's engaging Facebook page yet? Our likes have doubled the last 30 days, so check it out and you'll see why. Inspire and stimulate your mind with all the exciting things going on both inside and outside every day at Biosphere 2. Experience our new architecture, engineering, and history tours. The University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, a world of discovery and adventure. Like us on Facebook and visit today.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small, mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
When you give to United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona, you create opportunities for positive change in the lives of more than 100,000 children, families, and seniors in our community. So be a part of the change. Visit UnitedWayTucson.org.
Adelita Grijalva is with us. She's president of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. I am Bill Buckmaster. It's our Friday Focus interview. Mark Evans is here from Inside Tucson Business, and Mari Herreras, who covers education, one of her beats at Tucson Weekly. What about the situation with the shutdown? Superintendent Sanchez basically said, hey, let's shut down TUSD over the holidays. What's the reaction been among the employees?
The reaction's been really positive. We've had a few employees that had maybe didn't have enough vacation. They've had the opportunity to be able to work a few hours if they needed to. But overall, the impression I had is that even if you were, there was a skeleton crew, and let's say you needed somebody from finance, that person might not be available. So it might not have been the most productive use of most productive time, I mean, unless you're working on curriculum or that kind of thing. But overall, people have been really positive and able to kind of walk away from work and enjoy their break.
A morale booster that goes to reinforce the perception that Dr. Sanchez seems to have kind of hit a home run among employees.
Yes.
Is that safe to say?
It is safe to say. I was dropping my son off at Miles, and I had a teacher walk out of her classroom and just say, I just want to let you know, we had a meeting with the superintendent, and he actually listened to us, and I just want to say that we're really happy. So that happens fairly often, and it's good to hear, because there was a little bit of stress regarding, you know, his hiring and that he was the only candidate. And so I'm glad that what we saw in the interview is actually everyone else in the community is able to see that as well.
Okay, here's Mark Evans, Inside Tucson Business.
So the district's been closing schools for the last few years, and you're now sitting on millions of dollars of real estate. What's the what's the district's plan for the disposition of those properties?
Well, you know, there right now isn't a lot of interest in commercial property, and while the real estate market is looking better when it comes to commercial property, my impression, especially in our schools, is because they're in the hearts of neighborhoods for the most part. Unless you're going to level the school, there's not a lot of interest. So we're working to get people that are leasing the properties in there so we don't have vacant buildings. We're looking at a lot of proposals to do that. And we just recently sold Wrightstown. This is the second go-around for Wrightstown. And so that property needs to go to the city council and for zoning. But, you know, really what we need to do is go to the voters and ask for their permission to sell any of the properties that they hadn't already released for that kind of purchase.
I'm going to ask you to slip your headsets on here so we can go to the Buckmaster Show live line. We have Matthew up with us. Matthew, go ahead. You have a question about the legislature.
Yes. I was wondering, Adelita, as you know, the legislature is going to be reopening, I think, January 13th for the new session. They're sitting up there with, I think, over $1 billion now in the bank. It's clear that the governor's priorities, I think, other than for sure CPS, education is going to be top of the list. Superintendent Baker.
Many people hope so, Matthew.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we do.
Well, it's the number one drag on the entire Arizona economy is our workforce, and that all comes back to education. But Superintendent Baker wrote an op-ed recently. Have you had a chance to review it?
I have not.
The Vail School District.
Yeah, that was in the Arizona
Daily
Star.
What were your thoughts about what he's trying to say to the state legislature and to everybody? Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. So basically, legislative priority for you.
Right. It is a huge legislative priority that, you know, in the last 5 years at TUSD, we've experienced a decrease of $17 million while we've had an increase of a lot of unfunded mandates. So if, you know, there are any additional funds coming from the state that are really to support our programs and not tied to a specific mandate, that would really be a boost to all of the school districts.
Okay. Here's Mari Herreras from the Tucson Weekly.
I know with the closures of the last round of closures that we had towards the end of last year, some parents have been pretty outspoken at Hollinger, for instance, regarding that things weren't there that they were promised, like, you know, GATE and special ed and honoring kids' IEPs and such. Have you heard back or heard anything of things been, has there been some follow through in that and or is it still a bit bumpy?
You know, Hollinger is a unique situation in that we had the school year started with a lot of substitute teachers in the middle school. And so it was very frustrating. I heard from a lot of parents. Hollinger is actually the elementary school that I attended, and Wakefield is a middle school that I attended. So we live in that neighborhood, and you know, people can come straight up to my door and tell me about how frustrated they are. So yet we have made some inroads as far as ensuring that we're working through a lot of that. Hollinger has the only bilingual GATE program in the district. And so the hope was that we were going to continue to be able to offer advanced opportunities for the middle school students. And it is still something that we're working on. And what I'm hoping for is when we have the finalized demographic study, we can really look at that whole area again to see, the way I hope it's going to turn out is that we really do need a middle school in that area. All of the K-8s are maxed out. We don't have a lot of room anywhere. And students that live in that area are going to Safford or Utterback or, I mean, really kind of far away from the rest of their, you know, the schools that are in the area. So I'm hoping that that's going to be something that we can reconsider if the demographic study shows that there's going to be a need.
Going back to what Matthew was referring to about that editorial he had, and I know you hadn't had a chance to take a look at it, but basically Calvin Baker of the Vail School District said, to summarize, that it's time to let go of what divides us and focus on what unites us. It's time for supporters of both district schools and charter schools to work together to address the embarrassingly low level of funding for education in Arizona.
Right, and I absolutely agree. I mean, as much the issues that I have with charters are that, you know, the rules are not this, don't apply to school districts and charters, but I do think that it's important that we really look to the legislature to say we need to be more competitive, we need to offer our children a better education, and you have to stop cutting and put more investment into our kids.
Mark, a quick question.
This time of year, the public schools go out and try and campaign for tax credit donations. I know the schools use them a lot for their extracurricular activities. Is there anybody who's tasked within the district to monitor how those monies are spent and make sure that it's not being used simply as, you know, for lots of field trips that get tax credits?
Well, we do have a lot of restrictions as to how we can use those funds. And so, you know, field trips are part of one of the areas that we can use them. You can't really, pay for an FTE out of tax credit money. And right. So we have a lot of restrictions. But yes, we do have our finance department that ensures that we're meeting all of the expectations there. And the funds, people are able to allocate specifically where they would like those funds to go. So if I go to, you know, White's website and say, I want to put my $400, because if you're a married couple, you can do $400 into White. I can write out specifically what I'd like that funding to go to, what department.
So you can designate it.
Absolutely.
And someone tracks and makes sure that money actually gets spent there.
Right. Well, you have the administration that's on site, and you also have finance that follows up. Yes. The other thing that I think is important to note is I had a parent come up to me yesterday and said, why can I donate $1,000 as a married couple to the parochial school down the street and can only donate $400? to TUSD. That's an issue I think that I would hope the legislature would look into as well, because that's really a travesty for us, our kids.
Adelita, thank you very much. We all hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday season. Come back and see us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much. We'll be back with our Reporters Roundtable, Mark Evans and Mari Herreras, joining me as we continue on the Buckmaster Show this Friday edition. Be right back.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama holding his final news conference of the year at this hour at the White House. The president singling out the economy as a bright spot and saying that 2014 could be a breakthrough year for the U.S. Mr. Obama says it needs to be a year of action for the American people. And the president also says more than a million people have selected coverage through the troubled healthcare.gov website, as well as various state websites for healthcare coverage. On Wall Street, stocks are trading sharply higher on some upbeat economic news. The Dow is up about 103 points, the NASDAQ Composite Index ahead by 52. More details at srnnews.com.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at ruggalleryaz.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847. In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show this Friday before the big holiday to-dos, of course, next week. It's kind of the last weekend to get, of course, your Christmas shopping done. Welcome back to the show. It is the Buckmaster program. It's our Friday Reporters Roundtable, and I'm always so honored to have local journalists join me and sound off on the week's top stories. This week we have Mark Evans. Mark's doing a fine job as editor of Inside Tucson Business. He's been over there now for 3 months.
Correct.
Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Very good. Mari Herreras is here. Mari, staff writer for the Tucson Weekly. Mari, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill.
And
thanks
you
for
do
having
a great
me.
Job, too, just so we're throwing out the compliments here.
Oh, great. Yeah. Thank God for the holiday season.
There
so
you
I can
go.
Say.
Yeah. Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040. If you would like to, any of the listeners would like to make a comment along the way, we would be happy to entertain it. Let's stick with education for just a few moments, Mari. We just were talking with Ms. Grijalva, the president of the TUSD governing board. But this was a week that the mess with the Sunnyside School District governing board and the news about the superintendent's ongoing back tax issue. Just that's a story. It just doesn't seem to go away. What is the deal over there? I mean, if you could summarize it beyond my characterization of mess, what would you say?
Well, I always think that whenever you have messes with superintendents, I don't think looking to the superintendent or looking at the or thinking that it's the district is severely flawed in the sense that you need to look at the governing board. And I think that in this case, I think that's a logical thing to do. You have a governing board that voted for this budget. They extended his contract, even though there were folks that brought up clear issues at the time when that occurred. And then, then the ongoing mess of the recall mess, luckily that seems mm-hmm. to be winding down. Mm-hmm. But there are still other
and
issues.
The budget mess.
Yes.
They'll yes. be cutting.
Right. Major cuts.
Major cuts.
And what I was told by a source at Sunnyside is that was understood that those would be around the corner if the governing board didn't take certain actions, and they didn't. And they supported the superintendent and then extending the contract, which, you know, I think you have to look at the governing board.
Yeah, I mean, the plan for the cuts has been underway for a good 6 months or more. It was something that basically the district was using to try to scare voters into voting for the budget override by saying, you know, this is what we have to do if you don't pass this, the override. And the voters still didn't pass the override because they don't trust the school district based on the way it's run. It was the third rejection of the override in 3 years. All of them under the tenure of the superintendent. So well, yeah, the superintendent appears to be having had a significant effect on the district in terms of improvements that they've made through the use of technology, reductions in dropout rates, increases in graduation rates. So he does have some achievements, but the district he's running is total chaos. There needs to be a change, and it either needs to be in the board, and then they can decide what to do about their superintendent, or it needs to be with the superintendent. There's probably going to be a recall. The other recall fell apart. The recall of Daniel Hernandez and Buck Crouch was not filed. However, the Pima County Recorder right now is verifying the signatures that were turned in against Gonzalez and Garcia. The expectation is that will be confirmed, and then they'll have to decide when to have the election, either in March or May. But just because they get recalled doesn't mean they lose. Someone's going to have to run against each individual. It's not like it is in a general election where it's everybody in the pool and the guy with the most votes wins. With this one, someone has to run specifically against both recalled candidates.
It is a mess, and it will continue, I'm sure, to be a big story in 2014. The mayor released a two-year plan, Mark Evans, very ambitious. I think when he first came into office, what was it, the 180-day plan, which it morphed into a 360-day plan, and now he's got the two-year plan. And this is what, I've got about 10 pages in front of me of the mayor's plan.
Maybe
we should just talk about what he calls for the five T's.
Well, he wants, there's all areas in the town that he wants to try and improve. Yeah. What he told me was that the gist of the thing is that he wants everybody in the community working towards making the community better, improving quality of life. And if we can improve the quality of life, we make our community more attractive to businesses. We keep businesses here. There's greater business retention. This is really an economic plan. There's a lot that's being talked about with this five T's: tourism, transportation,
technology,
trade, and I don't know,
teaching.
Teaching, right. So, but there's more to it than that. There's also improving the community and keeping the parks clean. He's talking about improvements in many lots of the different governments as well. The two big things that I took out of it, though, is that he's talking about the biggest drag, or I shouldn't say drag, the biggest expenditure item in the discretionary spending for the city is public safety funding, and he's suggesting in there that it would be in the city's best interest to find a dedicated funding source. So I said, dedicated funding source means tax, right? And he says, yes. So he has in his plans perhaps to go to the voters sometimes over the next 2 years to ask for some sort of tax to help pay for public safety, which I think is a good idea. The other thing in there is that he wants to go to the Regional Transportation Authority and seek a reauthorization of the RTA. Now, the RTA is not supposed to come up for a vote until 2026, but he's suggesting that it should be reauthorized sooner than that, and as part of the reauthorization, there should be included in their roads maintenance. So there's $1 billion roads combined between the county and the city, roads maintenance deficit that neither government has the money to even get close to getting caught up on. And this would be a way to provide funding for fixing the roads deficit, the roads maintenance deficit. However, RTA told me that in order for that to happen, there has to be a change in the legislation. So even if RTA wanted to do that, they would still have to go to the legislature and change the legislation that authorizes the RTA to allow for road maintenance funding.
And, Mari, your area of expertise, one of your areas, education, the mayor goes on here, what I think is about 10 or 12 points under the T for teaching: early literacy, family literacy, the dropout prevention and recovery, attendance, alternative programs, education funding, mayor's reading challenge, job and career fairs, and certification testing fund. I think he's hit on some of the high points.
Yeah, for sure. I think obviously, I think we all understand the ties to economy in our schools and how people feel about the city and schools in the district. And those are definitely – and I think literacy has always seemed to be part of something he was supporting from his beginning. I think it's interesting how, as a mayor, he's definitely taken a different approach that we've seen previous mayors do in terms of walk-up. And, I mean, I don't have too much history in terms of observing these guys, but he's definitely more admin focused than being just a figurehead that cuts ribbons. And that alone, I think, is quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly a hardworking guy. He retired from his job as a lawyer. He works full time for the city, even though it's a part time gig. He's everywhere. The thing about this plan is this isn't what the city can do. I mean, he's talking about trying to get the federal government to make changes, get state governments to make changes, county government to make changes. Right. He's trying to get everybody who's got a dog in the Tucson fight, if you will, to all work together to try and make the community better. So that's a lot of the plan in terms of the stuff the city's going to do. The big thing is to try and find that specific funding source.
Coming up on 12:45 here on the Buckmaster Show, Mark Evans here from Inside Tucson Business and Mari Herreras from the Tucson Weekly. This afternoon from 3 to 5 here on KVOI, Tucson broadcast history will be made as the legendary talk show host John C. Scott takes to the airwaves for what could be the last time. While there is nothing I can say or do to change the decision by station management to move in a new direction during John's afternoon drive time slot, there is something personally I can say and will say about this iconic Tucson broadcaster who I first heard back in the mid-1960s when I first came to Tucson as a 17-year-old kid from Chicago to come out to the University of Arizona. And John was the news voice for the number one radio station here in this town in those days. It was KT. Once you heard that booming voice, you never forgot. Years later, I got to know John as he helped me 3 years ago through our transition from television to talk radio. I will always be indebted to him for his kindness and guidance, paving the way for our success with this radio program. John says today, Mark and Mari, is the last in the line of the show. It's the end of the line for nearly a quarter of a century as his radio talk show host. My fellow Tucson Golden Mike Award winner is like a neighborhood cat with nine lives, and I think he has at least one more of those lives as a broadcaster somewhere else here in Tucson, and I and a lot of other people. And, you know, Mari and Mark also wish me wish John the very best. I will miss hearing him on the air, but I will not bet that we have heard the last of John C. Scott.
You may very well be right. He didn't sound like that when I talked to him yesterday. most of the radio stations, the AM radio stations in town are conservative, and he doesn't think that there's a home for him in those other stations. I mean, maybe there's the small station downtown, KXEI, maybe, but I don't know. Right now, it doesn't sound to me like he's got it in him to go do it, but things could change. I'm leading off a show this afternoon at 3 o'clock, and so I hope people tune in, and I hope it's not his last show, but if it is, it will probably be worth listening to. I've enjoyed being a guest on his show over the last few years. He helped raise the awareness of Inside Tucson Business. He helped raise the awareness of my previous publication, Tucson Citizen, by allowing me to be a guest on the show. And if he doesn't have another show, I will definitely miss him. I've been listening to him for 20 years, and I often will yell at the radio at some of the guests that he has, and other times I'll drive along nod my head, and people think I'm crazy.
I can say, John, you've been a really good friend to the Tucson Weekly. You've supported us, gone through the page by page of the paper on your shows, and had each of us on, and
Dan Gibson's been on.
Jim Ninsel early on was a regular. Mm-hmm. I've filled in a few times for the boys when they were out of town. And it's a fun show. And we've enjoyed the exposure and the fact of being part of that fun.
And thank you, John, for the charity work you have done. The Bike in a Box charity was just concluded. I think John and the team raised about $20,000-$25,000 and to really help out a lot of kids who would not have any kind of Christmas. At least they will have something, and it's really a special something, a bicycle.
I think that's what's great about you guys, the fact that you guys have these microphones and you always give back in some way, you know, through your sponsors, to the community. You guys take this job pretty seriously in that thought and caring for the community, and that's one thing I've always appreciated.
Thank you. And that's going to wrap it up right here for our Reporters Roundtable. We'll be back with our Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold, and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
It is time for the weekend. So many people very ready for the weekend because, of course, it's the last weekend before Christmas and the holiday season, so it's going to be a very big weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, who want to wish everyone here in the Buckmaster Show listening audience a very, very happy holiday, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. And they invite all of you, if you get a chance, and a lot of people have time off over the holidays, head over to Silver City and take a hike in the historic Helix Cliff Dwellings National Monument area. So much to do in Silver City and great places to stay, including Spirit Canyon Lodge and Cottage of Whispering Canyon. Go to their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's go now to Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist. And today, in honor of the Buckmaster Show, he is wearing the famous Santa suit that he has had for so many years, and it's back from the alterations. Just a little bit, take a touch out in the waist, and all ready to go. The hat still fits.
You know, wherever I go in that suit, kids are just following me, just poking at me and making me laugh. It's always a lot of fun. But you're right, the waistline comes out about an inch and a half every year, Bill.
Speaking of Christmas, the column, Fruitcake and Beyond. Fruitcake and Beyond today in the Inside Tucson Business column.
Yeah, you know, I'm one of the few people in the world, Bill, that actually likes fruitcake.
I know.
I'm happy to admit that on the radio. But for those that don't really find a fondness for the stuff, there's some great Yule logs and eggnogs in town. And I caught up with a couple of people locally who are doing some great things with both. So in Inside Tucson Business this week, you can read all about it.
And Ace producer Rosemary Brand is saying thumbs up to fruitcake. Rose, you really like fruitcake, don't you? No, she's saying no, she doesn't. Big night for opening of the Chef Ryan Clark's new place.
Yeah, that's the big news on the Tucson food scene. Three-time Iron Chef Ryan Clark has left Lodge on the Desert, Bill, and he's now opened up Augustine Kitchen in the Mercado San Augustine on Congress, just west of I-10. Now, this beautiful space was once hosted a French bistro with a similar name, but they're now officially open, Augustine Kitchen. And happy hour starts today at 3 o'clock with a goat cheese brulee and steak tartare with local beef and really a host of other thoughtful dishes, along with the kind of cocktail list that only an Iron Chef and his team can assemble. Give Augustine Kitchen a try for happy hour and dinner tonight.
Yeah, they got some fine mixologists, don't they, ready to
Absolutely.
Make up just the right thing for this holiday season. Now, you are something of an expert in tacos. You've really traveled the country judging taco contests. So anything that's got taco in its name will attract Matt Russell.
Yeah, this is one that I'm really interested in, Bill. One of the most highly anticipated restaurant openings is scheduled for tomorrow at 11 a.m. on the corner of Congress and 4th Avenue downtown when Gio Taco swings opens its doors. Now, they call these no-rules tacos, probably because they challenge every assumption you've ever had about the classic foldable food. Bill, imagine a taco with coffee rubbed in smoked pork belly, seared squash, and a pumpkin seed salsa. That's what I'm talking about. There's a total of 12 tacos in the lineup, along with some innovative side dishes and snacks, all of which I can assure you are totally unexpected. So join me in celebrating the opening of Gio Taco tomorrow.
Softer, the crispy shell for you, Matt.
Oh, boy. You know, I can't make an exclusive decision there because it all depends on the mood, but I think this weekend it's a soft shell.
There you go. How about what's going on at Hacienda del Sol for the holidays?
Yeah, you know, as a fan of the blues, I got so excited when I heard about the new blues series at Hacienda del Sol. Every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m., it's Hacienda del Blues with some of the area's top blues talent performing live. These concerts are going to be accompanied by $5 sangrias, along with great specials on beer and cocktails. And, of course, dinner is always a delicious idea whenever you're up at the Hacienda. Check out Hacienda del Blues this Sunday night at 6 and every Sunday through the spring.
I'll try to get you a fruitcake next Christmas season.
Making a double, Bill Buckmaster.
Hey, Matt, have a great holiday. And on behalf of all of us here on the Buckmaster Show, we really appreciate you being part of the team. Thank you so much.
Love you, Bill, and the Buckmaster family. Happy holidays.
Thanks a lot. You You know, Rose, it really is the season for gratitude. We were talking with Dr. Victoria Mazes of the Center for Integrative Medicine about a gratitude journal. Try to be grateful every day. Write down two or three things that you are grateful for. I really want to thank not only Rose, our wonderful producer, but all of the fine sponsors. I am so proud of this roster of sponsors on the Buckmaster Show and really the whole KVOI family, Doug and Mary Martin, who are hosts here for the Buckmaster Show. And I do invite you to go to buckmastershow.com, look at the list of sponsors, and it's an impressive group of people, and please give them your business this holiday season and beyond. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of the team, the lovely and talented ace producer, Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I really want to wish all of our listeners a wonderful Christmas season. We'll be back with you on Monday live right here on KVOI. And Culligan Water, thank you so much for your support through the years and all of our bottled water here at the station and the Buckmaster Show, the Culligan. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.